Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you, coming to you on February the 18th, Monday, the day after the Genesis Open. So we're going to talk a little bit and maybe a little bit more about what happened at the Genesis Open. Very dramatic finish, and in large part because of the bad weather earlier in the week, and everybody had a marathon weekend of playing a lot of golf, and J.B. Holmes survived the marathon, I guess is the best way to put that, over Justin Thomas, who certainly is going to regret a lot of the shots, a lot of the action on the green for Justin Thomas. 19 putts for Justin Thomas on the back nine only in Sunday's final round. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We have Steve Johnson joining us shortly. He's the managing partner, of course, at Hank Haney Golf, and joins us on a regular occasion. Also, we'll have to talk a little bit about Matt Kuchar, and that seems to have been resolved for now. And will it linger? Will the aftermath of what happened with Matt Kuchar and back in Mexico at Mayakoba way back in November lingered all the way until now, and it seems like it's been solved, but how much damage that might have done to his reputation, we'll see. We'll talk about that going forward as well. Frank Bassett, as always, from the Nashville studios, where weather's not on your side for playing any golf this week, Frank.
No, it's not. Good morning, Tim.
Rainy and cold.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's going to be 60 this week here. 60, 65.
Okay.
But still raining every day. It's rained so much this year. We're 8 inches over our normal right now. Yeah. Everything's just soggy, and you know me, I'm not a cart path only type guy. So I'm just not. And because usually I'm spraying it on the opposite side of the cart path, whatever. If it's on the left, I go right. If it's on the right, I go left. You know, so, yeah, it's going to be horrible here. Had a great weekend, though, outside of the Genesis Open, watching the marathon death march. Mm-hmm. Whoo, it was slow and yucky and ugly there, too, and windy yesterday. But Brendan Sweeney from the French Lick Resort came to town
over
this weekend, brought his lovely, lovely 13-year-old daughter, Megan. Moo is her nickname. So we took her to the Country Music Hall of Fame on Saturday, and I think the only people she knew were Luke Bryan and Taylor Swift. Everybody else, you know, well, she knew who Johnny Cash was. So we toured around the Country Music Hall of Fame, and then went to oh man, this place, Biscuit Love. If you come to Nashville, go to Biscuit Love. It's a fabulous restaurant. They have a few of them.
Is that a breakfast place?
Oh, it's a breakfast place, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wow. So we started at Biscuit Love, went to the Country Music Hall of Fame, then went to one of the best barbecue places in the world outside of the Rendezvous in Memphis, Martin's Barbecue by Belmont University. And my jacket I had on is still hanging outside on the porch because it still smells like barbecue.
The smell.
Oh, yeah, it was just brutal. But it was so good. And then went out to our Club Corp sponsored Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club that night, Saturday night. So it's been a long weekend, I'll cut it short. Whew. And today, before they leave,
more action.
More action. We're going to go to the Wild Horse Saloon and do some line dancing. Megan wants to line dance. So
really?
We're going to take her down there after the show. We're out at noon, have lunch down there, and make Sweeney buy her some boots. He said, God, these boots are like $600-$700 a pair. I went, yeah, welcome to Nashville. You know? So anyway, French Lick Resort, Brendan Sweeney, we've had a great time this weekend hosting him here in Nashville and his lovely daughter. So that's been my weekend. No golf.
Sounds like it.
No golf. Well, never. But right. Oh, my God, we got to go. We got to – Kuchar, are they going to give him a parade in Mexico this week? Wow. Oh, my God. What in the world is going on with that, Tim? What are you hearing on your end? I mean, it's resolved, but it's not resolved, and he's going to give him 50K, but...
Yeah, he also, and going back to the original problem that was created, they had their agreement, and this is, we got to remember, back at Mayakoba, early early first week of November. He was not even expecting to play in the tournament. Last second, changed his mind, as can happen sometimes. And I'm going to go play. His regular caddy couldn't be there. No problem. I'll pick up a local caddy. Finds a guy who knows the course and local caddy. And they work out a deal. Here, I'll pay you $3,000. If I don't make the cut, I'll pay. If I make the cut, $4,000. Or it was $2,000 and then $3,000. And so they had an agreement of what it would break down to. And a top 10 would
a handshake
or whatever.
A handshake agreement.
Yeah. And that was kind of it, like almost in a parking lot. Here's how we're going to work this. And lo and behold, he obviously wins the tournament out of the blue. And it's a tournament that's lesser than as far as people don't maybe keep up with it. But the purse is every bit the same as you're going to win at Genesis. It's $1.3 million. It's a big purse. So you're like, whoa.
And that
it was almost like... It was almost like found money, right? If you're Cooch, yeah. You're going, wow, I just stumbled on the street, and here's a pot of gold that I wasn't even expecting a week ago. And instead of then going, well, we got to get a new deal here. You're not my regular caddy, which would normally be 10%, about $130,000. Okay, we got to come up with something. Instead, he stuck with his agreement, and he said he tossed in an extra $1,000, Kuchar said, to make it seem like it's even better. And the caddy kind of balked at it. And so for the last 3 months, this has kind of been simmering. And the word slowly leaked out. It even went to his agent. His agent backed him up and said, who was the same agent as Tiger Woods' agent, and backed him up and said, hey, he did what they agreed to, and it seemed fair. And so that's the end of the story. Well, as we all know, agents don't usually get the last word. It's not the end of the story because it kept going. And quite honestly, the caddy in Mexico was talking to other people who said, you kind of got screwed around. And so it came to a head, and that's when Cooch then, about a week ago, basically said, hey, he got what we talked about. I gave him a little bit of a bonus, like an extra $1,000. But the truth of it is, he actually, as I understand it, kind of went around the clubhouse and came up with the cash and handed him, you know, money in fives, tens, hundreds, whatever his buddies is, to come up with the $5,000 to pay him. Well, that didn't seem very professional either, right? As far as it didn't wire the money to him, put it in his bank, do whatever. He gave him a wads of cash.
Cash.
Yeah. And so all this just started to look really, really bad for Matt Cooch. He could have solved it and fixed it and said, okay, it was. Instead, he compounded it and said, no, that was what our deal is, and I don't have any problems with it. For a caddy in that region, that's pretty good money. They don't normally make that much money. And that seemed very insensitive.
Yes.
Cooch then obviously re-looked at everything he did and said, okay, I got a mulligan here. That was wrong. And he admitted and said it wasn't right. It's not me. I said things that were insensitive, and it's not me either. And so they agreed to $50,000 is what he's going to end up paying the caddy. And again, this all could have been resolved. People asked me about it all weekend long. And I said, you know what? There's probably not a nicer guy on the tour. So I get that he fumbled here. But Matt Kuchar, and I think all of us in this world, it seems like we get one strike and we're just done and doomed. And social media just buries you and everything else. We're allowed to have a little bit of grace in our life, I think, and say, okay, I messed up. And I think he deserves that. Because if you watched, Frank, at the Genesis Open, there were people in the crowd who normally would be, Kuch, who were saying, where's my tip? Where's my tip? And heckling him. So, yeah. It was not. I mean, he got the fallback on that. And he's also, you got to remember this, he's an endorsement guy that's probably beyond where he is. He hasn't won a major. He's not oftentimes on considered one of the top golfers on the tour and all this thing that everybody talks about. And yet, you see him on Skechers commercials ad nauseum. He's always there. He does Bridgestone because he's a good guy. People like him. He's relatable. And this... obviously took a hit on that.
I would imagine there's some conversation that went on between the sponsors and the agent and Cooch. And, you know, I'm glad hopefully it's over with. We had to address it. It's a story, but it's over. It's done. Go play in Mexico and win there, but make sure you've got your caddy with you this time, okay? Cooch, don't pick up a caddy on site. He admitted that the local knowledge that caddy had helped him win.
Well, and you go back and look at it, he won by one shot.
I know.
Right? I mean, beat him by one shot. So I'm sure the caddy's point is, I'm not your regular guy, I get it, and you probably picked all your own clubs and did things maybe the caddy would help you with because I don't know your game that well. But I certainly helped you a couple times knowing that this is going to roll to the left or it looks like it does this, but you got to hit this dog leg. He had to give him some pointers here and there that added up to a couple of shots that he saved, and he only won by one. So it's like, okay, you helped me get to the victory line, and somehow I owe you $50,000 out of $1.3 million is it would be a nice little thing to do on his own without having to have, you know, a bayonet stuck in your back to make you do it. So that's where it looked bad.
You did say the victory line, and the Daytona 500, by the way, ended last night too, and great fashion. I don't know if you caught any of it, but 18 cars crashed with 10 laps to go, and then another crash and another crash. You don't need to watch the Daytona 500. Just tune in for the last 10 laps, and it's just
really?
Carnage.
I did not see it.
Carnage.
Oh, wow.
Total carnage. It was a mess. You know, hats off to the Frances and NASCAR, because there were really no injuries. I mean, they've really, ever since Dale Earnhardt, you know, hit the wall, the Honda
tragically,
devices,
tragically. Yeah.
I was at that race. Yeah. It was awful. Yeah. So anyway, the Daytona
500
is over.
They made it much safer. Yeah. Here's what I think about that, Frank. Just a quick comment is I think they've made it so safe, which is a testament, and that's great that they have. But I think it also makes everybody even more gutsy trying to make moves.
It does. Go low, go high, go between.
So it makes it almost like a golf mentality where you can't play it safe anymore. If you want to win a tournament, you got to go for those greens in two on a par five. You've got to be aggressive. And I think NASCAR, totally, these drivers are so aggressive that they're going for everything, knowing that if we crash, I'll probably be okay.
Yeah.
Because you saw it again, as you just described. A lot of crashes and everybody's okay.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's going for broke in NASCAR,
which
is exciting,
right.
But it's a little bit scary too.
Yeah, and I want to say, you know, the more fun would be to televise the fights that occur after the race between the drivers.
Pit row.
Oh, Lord. And there have been some classic ones over the years.
Oh,
drivers getting mad about the fact that, you know, you wrecked my car. Well, one car back, 0.0032 seconds back, and boom, gone.
Yeah. You ever notice that they never they take their helmets off a lot of times. Sometimes they leave them on, which is smart. If you're going to get in a fight, leave
that's
that
like
helmet
football.
On.
Why do you take your helmet off if you're going to get in a fight?
They take it off, but they keep it in their hand, don't they?
Yes,
like,
I
got a big old rock right here that if I need it, it's going to kind of crash it on your head. Yeah. Yeah.
They don't call it NASCAR for nothing.
I'm telling you, pit row. They should just have cameras in there just to get all the action going on the pits. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's
and we got Steve Johnson hanging with us. You want to take a break here?
Yeah, sure. Get us out of here.
Okay.
Get us out of here.
Okay.
We'll give Steve.
We'll take
a
quick
call,
break.
See what he's doing.
See what he thinks about the Coot situation. Again, it is over, but will it linger? That's kind of the curious thing. Is will it affect people going forward of how they see him? We don't know.
Certainly,
but we'll
will
see.
Today.
Yeah, well, it'll linger today. And also talk about what happened at the Genesis Open, because not only, as I mentioned, J.B. Holmes doing everything he needed to do to win, didn't play spectacularly, but the conditions were very tough. Justin Thomas did not play very well, shoots a final on 75. We didn't even mention Jordan Spieth, the second worst round of his professional career yesterday. He probably wasn't going to win anyway, but he went completely south, 10 shots over par in his final round. What's up with Jordan Spieth? We'll talk about that and a lot of other things when we come back with Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf. You're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio, and we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in the Dallas studios, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios, and joining us now is Steve Johnson from the Hank Haney studios and managing partner with Hank Haney Golf for, give us a year, Steve, 35 years now with Hank? How long has it been?
But it doesn't seem like that long. It's the 30 plus, we just say, but I'll tell you what, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, it has. It has been. And so let's, a couple of things we really want to talk to you about before your day gets started. I know you got a busy day, but let's start with the Genesis Open and the marathon that it was. I guess it's kind of to be expected. Play would get a little bit sloppy whenever you have to try to play 36 holes in a final round or 32 holes, or everybody had different numbers. But because of the rains on Thursday and all the delays that they've had, did you expect it to be a bit sloppy? And mostly I'm talking about Justin Thomas. It looked, maybe he just ran out of gas. Maybe he just got tired there in that final 12 holes or so.
A couple issues here. The weather was bad, you know, windy, cold, rainy at times, but they had 76 players on the last two rounds, 76 players, and it took them 5.5 hours to play. That's absolutely ridiculous, Tim.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons, the millennials are not advocates of golf and don't, if they do try it, they don't stick with it. It just takes way too long.
And as far as watching, same thing, right? The people watching were not millennials because they've got other things to do than 5.5 hours of golf.
Right. I mean, it was a great time. I mean, I watched it the whole day yesterday. I watched great golf and had three great naps during the tournament. I mean, it was
there
awesome.
You go.
That's between awesome. Putts. Yeah. That's between putts. I mean, come on.
Well, J.B. Holmes is getting criticized shorts, for it. He's getting criticized. But he wasn't the only one, is what you're saying, Steve.
But he's been in two situations. We can remember back at the Farmers Insurance Open.
Oh, yeah.
That 4 minutes and 13-second marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While he was waiting for the wind to stop or start or whatever he was waiting for. I mean,
so
it was as bad as, you know, the NFL coaches, the head coaches, icing a guy that's going to try to kick a field goal to win the game.
Very hard to play with a guy like that that's playing at that pace. So it affects other players as well. Is it solvable, though, Steve? I mean, here we keep talking about it, but can anything
Absolutely.
Be done?
Absolutely. Yeah? The Fine. USGA has rules in force right now, but they just don't enforce them.
And why is that? Why do you think they don't?
I have absolutely no idea. They make rules and they are enforceable. There's some rules that aren't enforceable. You know, the ones that have to do with your intent and all that. But this is cut and dry. We saw the European Tour do it last year at the Austrian Open. 40-second shot clock. The players loved it. They were playing the rounds of golf, 18 holes in 3 hours and, you know, 3 hours and 15 to 30 minutes. It was great. Players loved it.
So I think when you say it's not enforceable, they're just choosing not to go and do it because they think there's going to be pushback from the players and they're going to get criticized. And it reminds me of last year's Women's U.S. Open with Serena Williams and I can't remember the girl from Japan, and remember how they penalized Serena for different things. When you enforce things that are – and it comes back, oftentimes the referee, the umpire, is the one who gets criticized about being too tough on the players. Is that a problem? You think that the USGA is just afraid that they're going to get the criticism for it?
Well, I think they just have to do it. Heck, the European Tour did it in just one tournament to see how it was going to work. I think the PGA Tour can delegate and they can adjudicate or whatever you want to call it. They can say, hey, you know what? We're going to try a tournament and see how this goes and see how everyone likes it. And the thing is, they've got to have some system to do it. They can't penalize some guys and not others if they're violating the 40-second rule.
Right.
It just
not going to happen.
You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like they choose not to.
We've talked about it.
Is Europe so much farther ahead of us, Frank? Or
yeah, they are.
I mean, just
they are. I agree. I think they are, Tim and Steve. Yeah. I really do. But I don't see it happening. It's certainly not going to happen at the Players' Championship. Not going to happen in Ponte Vedra.
But I think they have to look at it. Steve's right. They have to look at it, and we kind of got off into the subject, but we'll come back to the genesis. They have to look at it, I think, because you're right. The future is always going to be about younger customers, if you will, and the customers of the PGA Tour have got to be younger players, and it's guys that want to play or not play, watch or not watch. And if you're going to turn them off, then you're going to find yourself 5 years and 10 years down the road with minimal audience and TV people. They're going, I don't know if we're going to keep giving you big money to televise these events. We don't have much of an audience.
Well, guys, the purses, you know, to go back to the European Tour, the purses are a little different here in America. And we're talking about one penalty stroke costing gazillions of dollars. So I don't know. It's always all about the money. And so who knows what's going to happen? Steve, you need to grab that.
We're joined by Steve Johnson with Hank.
I've got a blue lighting job over here. I'm taking calls. While I'm listening, I'm placing orders.
Steve Johnson. Steve Johnson Pizza.
I'll have pepperoni and double cheese.
Yeah. Let me take your order. I'll be right back with you guys in a second. Hey, Steve. Let's talk about Matt Kuchar scenario and how we all know how that played out. We talked about it before you came on. What did you think about how that whole thing played out?
Well, I think he finally ended up doing the right thing. I mean, he protected his sponsors. I mean, it's got to be embarrassing for this. We're talking about NASCAR. I mean, for all the sponsors he has on his shirt, he has RBC, he has Workday, he has Bridgestone. I mean, he's got a bunch of Skechers. I mean, he's got a bunch of people that he represents, and he needs to represent them in the right light. And you know, that people have been going. It's a very emotional topic. people have been going around and around about it. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with how much he makes or how much, you know, the economy down there in Mexico, which is considered a good yearly income. It's just what's fair, you know, what's fair. And you know what? Be generous. I mean, you know, the good book says, Tim.
Yes.
For those that have been given much, much is expected.
And that would be Hank Haney's latest book? Is that the one you're talking about?
The good book.
Oh, great. Sacrilegion on Golf Talk America.
Sorry,
this is beautiful.
Sorry. I thought it was the big miss.
Nice Catholic you are, Tim.
The big miss is the book, of course, that Steve is referring to.
There's some voodoo involved here, too.
You would not think that would have been Cooch, though, would you, Steve? I mean, for the whole thing to play out the way it did, there are some guys in the tour you might go, yeah, that fits. But for Matt Kuchar, you would have thought, boy, it would, never would have come to that because he would have given him $50,000 or something out of $1.3 million that he suddenly won that he didn't expect to win. It just seems surprising that that never dawned on Matt that this might not be the fair thing to do 3 months ago.
Well, he's been known to be a little tight, Tim.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Well,
yeah,
I didn't realize that.
He's a nice guy, but he's been known to be a little bit tight.
Okay, well, then I guess it fits for that. It didn't fit for the kindness and the gesture
he
could have made. But
I tell you what, he's been here at our headquarters. Every time I've been around him, he's been very nice, very respectful.
Yeah.
And I think it was a great testament to him yesterday when he came out and he made a statement, said he was going to pay L2CON $50,000, and from the first tee forward, the fans embraced him again. Cooch.
Yeah.
They weren't yelling Mooch. They were yelling Cooch.
Right.
They weren't booing him. You know, so I think fans are very forgiving. I mean, and, you know, I think his statement was very, I think it was honest. You know, hey, you know what? I was a little bit stingy. I a good deal is a good deal for both sides, and it was clearly a much better deal for my side than his side. I want him to feel good about, you know, the win. And I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, I think it all turned out well, and I think Cooch is, as I said, he deserves a second chance because he hasn't. It's not like he has a history of doing this. So hey, Tiger Woods, Steve, decent tournament, not great. 6 under, finishes 1 over yesterday, 72. Again, a long marathon. He did mention afterwards, and I think they're all a little bit fatigued. But of course, he's getting older, and this is the point I've made with you guys. I think Tiger Woods, where he is right now, is where he finished his tournament. He's playing about the same as the guys that he was around, Kelly Kraft and John Rahm and Vaughn Taylor. That's where Tiger is. He's not an elite golfer in my mind right now. And fatigue, he said, was definitely a factor. Did you get a sense that he was getting tired as Sunday wore on and on? And I think he had to play 31 holes on Sunday. Do you think that affected him at 43 years of age now?
Well, I don't think it affected him any more than it did anyone else. I mean, he's the only one that's complaining about it. I didn't hear anyone else. I didn't hear Justin Thomas complain that he was tired. I didn't hear, you know, Jordan Spieth, who had a lot more strokes than both of those guys. I didn't hear him complain about being tired. I mean, this guy's in phenomenal shape. What the heck is he complaining about fatigue and tiredness?
Because he's older than these guys, too. He's 20 years older than some of them. So maybe it is something that's just natural that you can be fatigued.
Retire. I mean, are we going to use that as an excuse every time we play bad or poorly?
I do.
That, maybe. You know what? I'm tired.
Frank goes, I do.
I do.
It's my excuse.
Oh, man.
Why can't Tiger do it? I'm with you. Did you watch any? I mean, you only saw, I guess, what we saw on TV of Tiger's
naps,
play.
In between naps, I did.
You woke up and saw it. Yeah, you came up for air.
I'll tell you what, he hit some in that
plane. He is going to play in Mexico.
Yeah. I mean, he needs to because that's easy money. There's no cut.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get rounds of golf in. He's going to get some reps in. The field it's a good field, but there's a lot of international players that. You know, we've talked about this a bunch. You know, these world rankings are a little bit skewed. The PGA Tour is by far the best tour in the world. And how can some of these guys that we've never even heard of before, I mean, I'm sure they're nice players. But really? I mean, a lot of these names that you're going to see this week, you've never even heard of before. Or you may have seen them, but you don't know who. You couldn't pick them out of a lineup.
Right.
So this is the type of tournament – Tiger wants to qualify for the President's Cup. He's the captain this year. He wants to qualify on his own. He wants to be the second guy to play, to be a playing captain. Hale Irwin did it the very first time of the President's Cup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this is a good tournament for him.
Hey, by the way, I also think I'm wondering about Tiger in playing in this, and we talked about this before about how much he has to play leading up to the Masters and other things to be in playing condition and playing shape to get ready for that. Are we now to the point where we don't bring up his back, his knees, his legs? Is he's been patched up? We know that, and there's scar tissue and whatever. But from now on, unless something else changes, we shouldn't have to even worry about his past issues. Steve, do you think that's all behind him? His health issues?
To be honest, I pay attention to him a lot, and I haven't seen him limping. I haven't seen him. He was stretching a little bit out there, which a lot of the players do. You get out there and you get cold a little bit. Yeah, you stretch, waiting for your next shot. But I haven't seen the old Tiger Woods that looked like he could barely walk. I mean, he's looking good. I think if we see something, if we see something from here on in, I think it'll probably be a career ender for him, because he hasn't had any problem with, other than the fact that he's got iron poor blood and he gets tired. I mean, they've got pills for that stuff,
Yeah, I was going to say.
Geritol.
Yeah, Geritol Sr. Hey, the Genesis Open got elevated to a higher standard, if you will. They're now being considered with, it's going to be an invitational, be a smaller field next year, and it's also going to be on the same level with Arnie's tournament and Jack's tournament. How do you feel about that, Steve? And Frank, I'm curious what you think, too. Deserving?
I like it. I like it. It's finally, the Quicken Loans tournament, Tiger's tournament in D.C., did not get any respect at all from the players. It was a bad time of year. I think this tournament being moved to an invitational, a smaller field, really does for Tiger what the PGA Tour should do. I mean, all these players talk about Tiger Woods. Hey, the reason Jim Furyk says it all the time, the reason I've made what I've made is because of Tiger Woods. Let's not mince words about it. This is Tiger Woods has created more than a darn good living for all those guys. He's taken the purses and elevated them into a whole other stratosphere. So
yeah.
I think Tiger Woods deserves a good field event on the mark of Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus.
And will he get that, you think? I mean, will the players turn out for this one as opposed to what you're saying at Quicken Loans?
Look at the field this year. And the field this year was awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I think he deserves it, and I think that the PGA Tour did the right thing. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is going to be a tour. It'll be an invitational is normally how many players, Steve, versus a normal 150-ish or so. Invitation would be 125, 120 players. How many would be?
I think they talked about 120. And I mean, sometimes the Masters has as few as under 100.
Yeah.
So it's different for every event, but I think they mentioned 120 instead of 144.
Okay. Well, it should be interesting. It kind of came out of nowhere, but I think it was a great testament for
a storied venue. I mean, Riviera is Riviera. It's the coolest.
His backyard, right? Yeah. He grew up right in that area, so that's not where he lives now. But he's kind of going back home. So, I think it's kind of cool. It's kind of nice, and we'll see. I mean, it was a great tournament. I think the drama was there yesterday. It was slow playing out and everything, but there was a lot of drama because it was on a 13th hole. Justin Thomas makes a putt, JB misses. Then Justin Thomas is up. Instead, Justin Thomas, like, four putts. JB makes a birdie. I mean, it was flipping back and forth. It was very dramatic. Slow playing, I grant you, but it was pretty dramatic. So, all right, Steve, I know you got to head out and give some lessons and do some other things today, but we appreciate your time and your comments as always.
Hey, thanks, guys. And remember, tell your listeners, send videos, down-the-line videos to golfschools@hankhaney.com. Free video analysis. There's a little spring break, spring training. So
yeah.
Now's the time.
Give us that. Give it to us again.
HankHaney.com.
Golfschools@HankHaney.com. There you go. All right, we'll do it. We'll keep promoting that too.
Right,
let
buddy.
People know about it. All right, Steve.
Thanks,
a great
Steve.
Day.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. See you, man.
Talk to you later. Yeah, Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf. And he does that. I mean, he's not just
write
that down. If you're listening, golfschools@HankHaney.com. And Steve himself. will oftentimes be the one that will give you the analysis on that. And he's quick to get back. I mean, I'm talking within a day or two. He usually will come back with quite a bit of a breakdown on you're doing this with your hands, you're leaning to your, whatever, your stance. Your, he does it. And all he needs is a video
what's
that
he,
we can all get our
what's
buddies
he said about your
for
swing?
Us. Yeah, well, we have to move on. There's a we got a commercial break. We got to go. There's a hurricane. Something's going on.
I don't want him to see my swing right now. I just don't.
Yeah,
it's all over the place. It's a mess.
He actually is not only knowledgeable about it and everything, but he's pretty kind. You know, I've seen him. Other friends of mine have sent him videos. And he doesn't just rip you apart like we all think, and that's maybe sometimes a hesitation because you're like, hey, I don't need a guy. I already know my swing's bad. But he gives you, you know, little pointers and little tips of not only what you're doing wrong because you might already know that, but here's what you need to do. You know, if you just put that right foot back a couple of, you know, whatever, he'll go through all that stuff. And it is amazing. It's like a teacher that, you know, Frank, that you and I might not be good in math, but you go in there and the guy can just dazzle you with a chalkboard and tell you what.
Yeah.
Because they just know that he's that way with golf. He can sit there and analyze and just get one swing and look at it and know that your hips, your right hip is too, and you're like, what? How do you? But it's what he sees it, right?
So he's been doing this for the Russell Crowe from A Beautiful Mind for golf. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He sees it. He sees it all. It's really pretty cool. But yeah, check it out. Golfschools@hankhaney.com, and they'll be happy to do that for you. It's a really cool, free thing. It cost you a dime.
Yes, it is. We're getting ready to head to Tucson the end of this week. Of course, the tournament's in Mexico on the PGA Tour this week. But we're heading out
PGA
to
Tour Champions will
PGA
be
Tour
in
Champions,
Tucson.
Tucson, Arizona for the Coligard Classic sponsored by Coligard, put on by the Conquistadors. It used to be called the Conquistador Classic, which probably the most famous trophy in golf is the Conquistador helmet, the gold helmet, which is really cool.
Yeah. Which
so
used to be
Omni Hotels and Resorts is our sponsor for the week, our host sponsor, which we can't wait. Club Corp, of course, is our presenting sponsor of Golf Talk America. And there's some Club Corp properties out there I'm going to visit while I'm there.
Cool.
Stay at the Omni, eat at Bob's every night. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, Omni is such a great host for us. I mean, we love them, and Sandy and Danny and the whole crowd out there is just great. I can't.
How's the weather look? I know you're very.
It's going to be cool.
Taking a
it
peek.
Looks like. Yeah,
be,
I have.
Yeah,
it looks
chilly
like it's
in the desert.
Cool in the desert at night.
Can
decent
be, sure.
70s during the day.
Yeah.
Cool at night. So I'll have to cut. Nice. You know, probably have to take an extra suitcase.
And when are you heading out there?
I will be there on Monday, a week from today.
Okay.
The tournament doesn't start until Friday, but Wednesday and Thursday, two pro-ams. We have the pairing party on Tuesday night, and John Daly and I always kind of get crazy at that party and have a big time. So it's going to be fun. Smoltz is going to play. Smoltz is coming to play. Yeah,
that's one of the ones people may not have caught that, but John Smoltz, former the Hall of Fame pitcher, is getting several exemptions into PGA Tour Champion events.
He
is. This
is
one of them. There you go. Oh, cool.
And
that's
Aaron Rodgers will play in the pro-am.
Nice.
So Aaron always plays with Jerry Kelly in the pro-am. So.
Wisconsin boys.
And I'll be in the pro-am, so we'll see.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. I don't know who I'll get to play with. Probably Bruno Gazanga, whatever.
You know, Bruno's working on his game, though, so he's getting better.
He's doing good. He sent a video
Mr. Gonzaga.
To Steve.
Yeah, to Steve at golfschools@hankhaney.com and worked on it. Hey, by the way, you mentioned the helmet. Correct me if I'm wrong on this, but that goes all the way back to the Tucson Open. Is that not right?
Yes, it does.
Before it became a PGA Tour Seniors event, it was a regular tour event.
Oh, yeah.
The Tucson Open. And so that helmet, if you will, Johnny Miller won it a few times, I think, and Phil Mickelson.
As an amateur, Phil won it, didn't he?
Yeah. So that tournament, in a different incarnation, if you will, goes back a lot of years, right?
Yeah, it's one of the.
Somebody had their name on it, too, didn't they, at some point? Was it Sammy Davis, or somebody had their name on it, didn't they?
I believe it was Sammy Davis. Yeah.
Glenn Campbell, Tucson, or something like that.
Glenn Campbell?
Remember
was
that?
Glenn? You know what? I should know that, and I don't. Don't
yeah,
know.
Remember,
I'll look it up.
Remember all those guys had names on I mean, for a while there,
the
there
Hope,
about
the
a
Crosby,
dozen.
The,
yeah, there's
yeah.
a dozen tournaments that had some celebrity, Dean Martin. They all had names on their tournaments.
Can you see it now?
Or on the PGA Tour.
The Rodney Dangerfield Players Championship. I can't wait. Listen, have you seen
Good.
Any pictures of what it looks like in Ponte Vedra? You know me in the Players Championship, my favorite tournament of the year.
Yes.
It's the rye is thick and pretty and dark green. It's back to March, man. Back to the way
they're
course needs to be played.
And they're going to be playing like we saw yesterday in the final round, right? The winds could blow.
Oh.
It could get chilly. You got to put a jacket on. And the wind's blowing from a different direction.
Yes, out of the north.
In a couple of months.
It'll be out of the north. And that course was basically Pete designed that course for those winds because it really makes that golf course play totally different than it does in May.
Yeah.
Elkington, you know, Steve's been on. He's won it twice in March. And he's been on with us a lot. And Secret Golf, you know, Steve Elkington.
He'll be there. Will he be there, do you know, this year?
He'll be there, yeah. He'll be there. Really? We'll be at the, by the way, Marriott Sawgrass is hosting us again this year. So we'll be with all the players in the lobby of the Marriott Sawgrass doing interviews all week. We'll be there the whole week. So, again, starting actually going in the weekend prior, I convinced Marriott that it was very important that we be there ahead of time to get set up properly.
Yeah, so, and by ahead of time, you mean January.
Pretty much, yeah. No, Todd Hickey is the GM.
A lot of equipment.
Marriott Sawgrass, great guy. They're a great host of ours, too. We love them. And we have a great time. I mean, it is the Marriott Sawgrass is the hub for the Players' Championship. So,
yeah,
lot going on. We're hitting the road. I'll come back straight from Tucson, be back in Nashville for 2 days only, and then, boom, straight to the Players' Championship.
Wow.
So, I'll be down there, of course, ahead of time. A lot of activity in the Masters we'll be doing.
Happening.
We'll be doing the RBC with the Palmetto Dunes being our host again this year. And Azalea Hospitality being our host at the Masters again this year. So it's going to be crazy year. We're going to be traveling a bunch, and you're going to be doing some stuff in Dallas. And I'm going to try to get out there for one of the two tournaments for sure.
Yeah.
If not Austin. I mean,
they split them up.
Austin Country
Austin's
Club is just
the WGC.
Yeah, the best. Yeah. So it's going to be fun. I'm excited. Cool. The season started now. You know, Daytona 500's over, so let's boogity, 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 let's go golfing.
All right,
As Waltrip says. So,
yeah, as he says. Yes. All right.
So we got to get out of here, man.
Let's do it. Yeah, we're done. We appreciate it.
I got to go line dance with Brendan Sweeney's daughter downtown
Nashville.
You got
to go teach someone. You got to go do some swinging. Get out there and have some.
Yeah, John Anderson, swinging. There you go.
Have some lunch and do a little dancing.
Do a little dancing.
Should be a lot of fun. Tell Brendan I said hi, okay?
I'll do it.
Yeah, that'll be good. All right, everybody. Thanks again for joining us. We love you each and every day when you join us here on Golf Talk America. Thank you to Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf for joining us as well. Remember, again, send your videos, golfschools@hankhaney.com. Just have your buddy shoot you from behind down the fairway as you're hitting any club, you can do it. And you don't even have to hit a shot. That's what's great about it.
Shoot
if it's raining,
you from behind.
Go in your front yard and just swing a club. Same way you would on a golf course, and Steve can analyze that for you and help you out. He'd be happy to do it for you. It's what he lives for. All right. Again, thanks very much for Frank Bassett. I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for listening, and remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.